everybody, and welcome to the end of the summer season, which for a lot of you out there is probably mighty depressing, but for me is actually mighty awesome because now, finally, all the games that I've been looking forward to all summer are coming out. I am, of course, your host, Simon Pazdorn, joined not by either of my usual faithful squad mates, but a different faithful squad mate. Hello, sir. It is Ryan Lamperts.
Hey, how's it going?
He's our Pokemon, as you will no doubt find out shortly, he's our Pokemon Go aficionado. You're our man on the scene. I don't know. Matt's coming in, too. He's just on the way from the lake. I can't blame him. I'm trying to get the last bit of summer in while he can. So Matt Womenu will be joining us here shortly. Adam, our usual squad mate, is actually over the Atlantic right now. Adam's coming back from presenting a paper in Germany.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yes. So the one guy on planet Earth who probably, honestly, would usually turn down a free trip to Europe is the guy that they get to fly out on a free paid trip to Europe. But that's what you get when you're very good at your job, which I imagine Adam is. Okay, so we do a little bit of gaming news that I'm going to talk about more when Matt gets here because I kind of want his opinion on it. But the reason why you're here is because it's really hard to find someone like you. And not just because, you're a great guy in general, but because Pokemon Go was such a phenomenon, and it's been such a phenomenon with Pokemon fans, and there's these new games. I made you watch the trailer, Pokemon Let's Go. So Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. Mm-hmm. And they have really been marketed at Pokemon Go players. So I think Matt plays a lot of Pokemon Go, and he'll, again, say this when he gets here, he plays a lot of Pokemon Go and a lot of Pokemon. I play a lot of Pokemon. I'm probably the rare breed of Pokemon fan that did not get into Pokemon Go. Because I was just never a collector as a kid. I just don't have the everything. I don't have the perfectionist gene, which you kind of have to in order, like, I need everything. I never had that gene. I'm like, I need enough. And then after that, it's good.
Yeah.
So, that especially at the beginning, when that's really all Pokemon Go had, it didn't grab me. It grabbed you.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like, what is it, 2 years, a year and a half?
It's been 2 years.
Yeah, so it came out in like summer 2016.
Yeah, July 7th or July 9th or something.
2016, yeah, so it's been quite a while, and you've still got the bug.
I do.
So, what is it about Pokemon Go specifically that grabs you so much?
I first got into Pokemon Go, it was hyped up, and then I got it about 5 days after it came out. I was kind of not a big fan of all the hype around things. But it was really interesting to see AR, augmented reality, incorporated into a game that was kind of where a lot of my childhood imagination was formed.
Yeah.
So I started playing Pokemon Red when I was, I think, about 8 or 9 years old. It was probably my very first Game Boy game. And, to be honest, I still have that save file in my Pokemon Red cartridge.
Wow.
Call me, sentimental or maybe a bit of a perfectionist or scared to let go of my past, who knows. But to see those same creatures come alive in an environment that I already was so familiar with, it was almost like playing something that I'd already been familiar with for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not decades, I'm not that old, but
You are. We're both 25, so we've been around. We're in our third decade.
You put it that way, sure. The AR function actually kind of became a little bit more of a novelty than anything else after a few months of playing. I found it made my game go a little bit slower, actually. There's that whole piece of, look, like Pokemon in the real world, through this device. But and it's for me, it's since evolved to become much more of that, much away from that, in a sense. So it's just been interesting to see how the gameplay has changed instead of kind of just casually reliving, reminiscing about childhood experiences with Pokemon, and it's moved into kind of like what you said about the perfectionism aspect of it. There are a lot of Pokemon Go players that is almost all they do. I've become friends with a bunch of them. After competing in raids and whatnot, where you have to get players, trainers together to defeat the raid boss. And so I meet the same people again and again. And I find that these people have a much different perspective on their gameplay, and the reasons behind their gameplay is much different than what I started. It's not just about, getting one of every Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's about, I need a perfect team of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, I need to have 6 perfect Machamps. I need to have 6 perfect Golems. I need to have a shiny of everything, a shiny of, you know, and so it's become quite, quite intense. I think a lot of the times, you know, we play games. There are some of us that prefer to achieve that sort of completionist level in some games, some of the games that we play. And I speak from experience. You know, I would collect all of the items and all the power ups just to make sure that I've played the bejesus out of
the
game.
You had to collect them all. But
that was my, yeah. So, and I've since kind of dialed it back because I realize how much it can be, how encapsulating it can be, or encapsulating, how captivating.
Yeah,
that's the word.
You had it kind of right the first time.
That's kind of it. So I've been able to kind of temper my playing, you know, compared to the ones that are really, really intense about it. Like, I play casually, you know, I try to maybe play once a day, but...
Well, like, in the percentage, though, of people who, like... Because if you go back to the very beginning when everyone was playing, including me, at the very, very, very beginning, that's when it was just going bananas. So, like, percentage-wise, you're probably still in the 1%. You know, and maybe I'll... You know what? I'm going to throw up a poll on our Facebook page. People can go and vote on that, and we'll share it around and see if we can get... But I'm curious how many people are still... You know, in September 2018, are still playing Pokemon Go, because, like, whenever I hear people talk about it, or even when I heard you talk about it, I'm like, wow, people are, like, still going?
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally I'll see it, I'll, like, you know, be hanging out with somebody and I'll just see it on their phone. They still have Pokemon. I'm like, you still have the Pokemon Go app? I'm like, wow. Because it honestly just didn't grab me. But it sounded like for you it was a combination of the perfectionist thing, which, again, I didn't have, and the desire to collect. Or, sorry, the perfectionist thing and the desire to collect and nostalgia.
Because
you hadn't. So... This might be a weirder question, but what made you stop then? So, was it just a lack of technology? Like, you just didn't...
What made me stop for playing Pokemon?
Because you played Pokemon Red and Blue.
Oh, yeah.
This is gonna wrap around to make sense, because I think you're the target audience for Let's Go, honestly. I don't think it's me. I don't think it's Matt. It's Matt more than me, but it's you, really. Like, if they had to design their ideal person, it's someone who played it as a... I mean, obviously, it's kids, number one, but... But number two is people who haven't played a game, because this looks like it's a, hey, come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we understand this Switch is selling like hotcakes, so the Switch is probably the console that you're going to make a jump to. This game might be a console for you to make a jump to. So you had a Game Boy Color.
Mm-hmm.
You played Red and Blue,
yep.
Or Red or Blue.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. Did you jump to Gold and Silver and Crystal?
I did play Gold, Silver. I think my brother had one. I had the other. I think I had Gold version.
That's the best thing about having siblings.
Yep. Yeah, you can trade and you can complete your Pokedex with the necessary trades.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we did play that. And so I was aware of most of the second generation of Pokemon. However, I didn't move past that. I didn't go on to the next generation. I didn't play any Generation 3 games.
Did you have a Game Boy Advance?
I did have a Game Boy Advance, but I guess I just kind of... it wasn't... It's strange because it...
Because this is the question. I think this is the $64,000 question, so to speak. Is that why did you stop?
I'd like to call the audience and ask the audience. Oh, we got one caller.
Page the audience.
Yeah. No, we don't have any callers. No, that was a joke. But
might. I could make it happen. We do have a phone here. No one calls us, but you feel free.
I guess I just didn't find the appeal of Pokemon games to continue on. I guess I kind of wanted to continue on living in the 8-bit world of the Red and Blue games, and I guess Gold and Silver. I like the Gold and Silver graphics a little bit better than the Pokemon Red and Blue. But I never really found... I thought it was kind of overwhelming when they added however many new Pokemon in the third generation. Because, you know, we had 150, and so I had those all pretty much down pat. And then, you know, a few years after that, it was another, 100? Another 150? I think
it's
another 100.
Yeah, I think it's another 150. I could get the exact numbers, and actually maybe I'll do that while you talk. But I think
it's actually 100 because...
it's 100 for Generation 2,
that's
what you're
right.
asking.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's exactly 100.
Yeah. And then maybe it's 101.
Like, maybe I can find it here. So Generation 3 added about 130.
Okay,
there you go. It went from 252 to 386.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I never...
And a new region, more specifically.
New region, who dis? I never really wanted...
That's immortalized now. You understand that? That's not going anywhere until the end of time.
Awesome. I'm not exactly sure why I stopped. I think I just... I did have a Game Boy Advance. I did love playing Game Boy Advance games. I just never... I thought it was... I think now that I think back on it, it was just overwhelming to have all that... more to learn, right? You know, because then I didn't also know how it worked, you know, when old generations were, how they were incorporated into the new generations. And I thought, if I'm going to play, I'm not going to have to just catch the new Pokemon. I'm going to have to catch all 330 or 380 Pokemon or however many there were at that point, because it's all Gen 1 and 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And so then that was kind of overwhelming for me. And then it kind of also, I guess I never caught on to it. Yeah.
That's interesting, because that's the gap.
And then Gen 4 came out, and I was just as removed as I was from Gen.
Yeah, I think honestly, I haven't even thought about it until this exact moment, that first jump is probably where they lost.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably been the biggest one loss of any. And for the record, I think third gen is honestly my favorite generation.
Oh.
I love that world so much. I thought the starters in that generation were the best. I think they're in Pokemon Go now, right?
They are, yeah.
So Generation 3.
A lot of third gen Pokemon are in there, yeah. That's with Torchic, Treecko, and Mudkip, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It was like, as you know, because you know me in real life, and because I'm wearing a Hawaii shirt, but the radio doesn't that. But I love water, and that, like, a big theme of that one was you're sort of in an island chain,
mm-hmm.
and you have to surf around, and that's when you can, like, they'd add a whole bunch of new mechanics. You can dive, so there's, like, underwater puzzles, mm-hmm. and there was a secret base, so it had, like, a little bit of multiplayer stuff.
Wow. I was never privy to any of that. I had no idea any of that was in the game, so, yeah, it's just interesting to hear now.
Yeah, but that would make sense that would be the place, because it's like, I understand these 150. Okay, so I understand Kanto and the 150. Okay, mm-hmm. now I understand it's Kanto and Johto, so it's the stuff that I know. You still have that base. And then to get that leap to the new, I guess that would be where they would lose people. That's interesting. So that's good to know.
You think with the new console or the new...
The new generation. So it's like, okay, so this is new stuff that I don't necessarily understand.
Right.
Like, it's a new world. Because you don't have Kanto as your base to understand. Like, you know your things, and maybe that barrier of entry would be a little bit higher if it's a brand new region.
Right.
Especially because they had never done it before, right?
Yeah.
At this point, in Generation 2, they took the safe bet and had Kanto in there as well.
So Kanto and Johto are not in Generation 3
No,
games.
Generation 3 is just Hoenn. Yeah,
oh,
the third one.
Yeah. So you can't even get Generation 1
No.
Pokemon in
there. There are some Pokemon. So they've always done that, where in a new game, they'll have all the new Pokemon, and the numbers that they make, like the numbers that they add, usually go down by generation, but then they'll, you know, sprinkle in some favorites from the past, so you understand it, particularly in this new game, Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Right.
Because it's actually, the idea is that you're in Pokemon Hawaii, and the idea is that some Kanto Pokemon, like, traveled to Hawaii when people went there.
Yeah, the Alolan Pokemon.
Exactly, that's right. Yeah. But so people, and specifically, like, trainers would bring their Pokemon to... I'm blanking on the name of the place, but it's Hawaii. So they bring the Pokemon from Kanto to Hawaii, and then those Pokemon become native there, like invasive species there.
Yeah.
And so that explains the presence of only Kanto Pokemon in those areas, which is
kind
of cool.
They do have Alolan Pokemon in Pokemon Go now, and that's kind of also, it's cool to see the same Pokemon, but in a different impression or a different imagination, or reimagined differently, you know, with different types and with different characteristics and movesets. And, you know, it's almost like they're brand new Pokemon. But they're still what I'm familiar with.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah,
totally. Now, okay, so we've kind of got taken 50 minutes to understand. By the way, this is going to be a Game Over Power Hour. So if you're hoping to hear TV Talkers coming up at 5:30, I'm sorry. It's going to be us the entire time. We are going to get mad in here, though. So don't worry. You don't have to listen to too much of my voice. We are going to dilute it with the beautiful, silky smooth Matt Menu that people have been begging for all summer.
Pleading.
Yeah, they've been banging on the doors saying, let's get Matt Menier back, and he is coming. But this is going to be a full power hour, because I think this is going to be a nice, honestly, I'm kind of looking forward to a slow show, this nice conversation show, because looking at the schedule coming up, it's going to be absolutely bonkers. So we will be putting on, before we continue this conversation, we are going to put on our Facebook page, I'll put up a poll, are you still playing Pokemon Go? Just yes or no. And only answer that poll, maybe I'll throw it in the question, but only answer that poll if you've previously played Pokemon Go. So if you didn't play it ever, don't answer no. You're going to skew the graphics. But if you're one of those people who was in there at the summer of 2016, you know, in Assiniboine Park at the Forks, going bananas with everybody else, are you still going? I would be kind of curious what percentage of people, at least that we can get a response from, are still going. Also, a couple of little housekeeping announcements. First of all, like us on Facebook, Game Over UMFM. You can find out whatever details we have to announce there. In addition to this Power Hour episode, originally last week I said write down in pencil that we were going to have a one-hour episode on September 17th. Good thing you wrote in pencil, because you're going to erase that. So we're only going to have a half-hour episode on September 17th, where we'll talk about both NHL 19 and Spider-Man PS4, and we're going to move our hour-long Spider-Man crossover episode with the Beyond the Panel guys to sometime in October. They just want a little bit more time. They've got more scheduled. It makes sense. They're in school. so they want a little bit more time to get a handle on the game before they want to talk about it, which is totally fair. So we're going to do an hour-long crossover episode sometime in October. But September 17th, we are not going to change the plans for the meetup, the fan meetup. We're going to have it probably in the hub right next door here. We're going to have, you can go with some drinks, you can chat with us, tell us your favorite games, what kind of games you're missing out on, that kind of stuff. September 17th. So that's coming up in just 2 weeks. Mark, very exciting.
Yeah.
feel free. Mark it to calendar. You're more than welcome to come. And next week, coming up this Friday, obviously, is Spider-Man. So everyone who's listened to the show knows how hyped I am about Spider-Man. I'm like banking 15 years of my life on this game being fantastic.
Awfully big bet.
Literally, I've gone back to Spider-Man 2 every couple years for the last, came out in 2003, so the last like 15. So I'm hoping that this game will do something similar. I really am. So I'm going to take the time right now to apologize to friends, to loved ones, family, coworkers. I am not dead, but you might not see me for a while. I'll just be attached to the screen, taking as much Spider-Man as humanly possible, because these next few months are going to be crazy. I also apologize to my mother, because Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out on her birthday. So we'll give her turkey, because turkey will put her to sleep. Just like from that Seinfeld episode, turkey
that's
makes
right.
you tired.
Yeah, of course.
There's the something in there. So that's also her favorite meat. So there you go.
It's good win-win,
because I know my mom.
It's good to have a favorite meat.
It's good to have a favorite meat, yeah. For me, I'd probably chicken.
Yeah.
Because everything tastes like it. Anyway. So we are again, we're going to have the full hour, but we will have a commercial somewhere in the middle. I apologize, but we do have to pay some bills. So we'll have a commercial in the middle there. But, okay, let's carry on. So you have now watched the Pokemon Let's Go trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And you being the ideal audience. So a little bit of history for both you and the people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo announced earlier on this year, I think in even like January, February, that they were making a Pokemon game for Nintendo Switch. Now, you don't have a Nintendo Switch.
Right.
Yet, potentially. We'll see. We'll see if this wins you over.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have a Nintendo Switch. But it's selling like hotcakes. Like, the Nintendo Switch has already exceeded, in a year, it's exceeded the amount of units sold by its predecessor, the Wii U. Which isn't surprising, because now people have a Wii U, and it feels like everyone's got a Switch.
Right.
They're just going crazy. Because it's so much fun. Like, people I run into at work that I didn't associate as being gamers will be like, oh, you got a Switch? Oh, man, I like sunk 100 hours into Breath of the Wild. And I'm like, holy smokes, you?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they do. It's just that much fun. So, they announced there was going to be a Pokemon game on Nintendo Switch. Hardcore fans like me thought this is going to be a Pokemon main series game. You know, it's going to update the graphics, update the mechanics, update all this stuff. It's going to be a big jump.
Because
I don't know if you played XD Gale of Darkness or Pokemon Colosseum. Did you play either of those?
I didn't play either of those. No.
But you're familiar with them?
Familiar with Pokemon Colosseum.
Yeah, okay. The sequel is basically the exact same.
Got it.
But those were like the 3D Pokemon games on the GameCube back in the day. So, we expected... As different as those were to the Game Boy Advance games at the time is what the Switch game should be to this. And then when it got announced, there was a huge letdown, I think, with actually the trailer.
Mm.
Because it's so Pokemon Go themed. I mean, Go is in the name. Pokemon Let's Go. You sync it up to your controller. You can transfer the games from your game to your phone. So they're banking so much on Pokemon Go to the point where they actually had to make an announcement of, no, there's a second game coming next year. So the game that people like me were excited about is coming out next year. But I think this is a clear move by Nintendo to bring in as many new people, you, as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean when I say you're the target audience. Like Matt and I, we're going to buy that game next year anyway. Adam's going to buy it. We're going to get that game next year anyway. Probably Neil's going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the where they could actually make money on this. More money than they expected. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're the unknown quantity that they're trying to rope in.
Right.
So knowing now that, what were your impressions of that Pokemon Go trailer?
Well, I liked it. It has a lot of similar characteristics to Pokemon Go. The idea of actually throwing the Pokeball instead of pressing buttons to say, okay, throw the Pokeball. It's like you are throwing the Pokeball.
There's no battles. Yeah.
There are no battles.
There's no battles.
Right. So there's that. However, in the trailer for that, for Pokemon Let's
There's no,
Go...
Sorry, no random battles. There's right. no You can battle trainers, but yes. you don't battle random Pokemon. Sorry, I clarified.
Right. Okay, so there are... Okay.
So you run around, you can see Pokemon in the overworld, as you probably saw that in the trailer.
Yep.
And then you run up to them, and that initiates a Pokemon Go-styled catch.
Encounter, yeah.
Yeah, encounter. That's mm-hmm. probably the better word for it, where you have to, like, the skill of your throw determines how well you do at catching them.
Right.
How well you do that kind of makes sense. And then you have a Pokemon following you. So this is, it's not announced formally in the trailer, but this is a Yellow remake, basically. So you're going back to Kanto.
Right.
And in Yellow, which you probably never played.
I didn't, but I know about the Pikachu.
It's the biggest departure. Yeah. So the fact you had a Pikachu following you was huge back in the day, because that wouldn't happen for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, Yellow was kind of the story of Ash, not necessarily the story of Red, because Red's like the Pokemon games trailer, and Ash like the guy. Okay. Because in Yellow, you actually got all three starters.
Oh.
So you start off with Pikachu, but you do get a Charmander, a Bulbasaur, and a Squirtle.
Hmm.
And in the trailer, I don't know if he sees a Venusaur, but we definitely see a Charizard and a Blastoise.
Yeah.
So the implication is that you'll probably be able to get every Pokemon in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still going through Kanto. So for you, this would be like, this is so targeted, honestly. Like, it's got the mechanics that you know. You can transfer Pokemon from Pokemon Go to the game,
mm-hmm.
and from the game to Pokemon Go.
That's probably the biggest feature to me that I noticed was the connection between this and Pokemon Go. Was now that I have, because I haven't really played, I guess that's the thing too, is that you have to look that Pokemon Go started from the original and took us back to Kanto as well with the original Pokemon, the original 150 Pokemon.
Yeah.
So first gen and then second gen, and then they're building on top of that. So it's kind of like they are continuing with this rebirth of Pokemon,
mm-hmm.
In the sense that they're also expanding on the rebirth where the rebirth started, with Pokemon Go. And so now that they're kind of expanding on that piece, it's interesting because, you know, when I think about how much I'm playing now and how many new Pokemon I'm encountering now with the Hoenn region that I've never encountered before mm-hmm. in the games, if anything, I would be more likely now to play Pokemon 3rd gen and 4th gen and 5th gen mm-hmm. games and then sort of catch up and make my way catching up through Pokemon Go. So I think it's an interesting reboot to the whole kind of franchise and the whole series, especially for people that were lost when they stopped playing after certain generation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they know Nintendo's not a dumb company. They know that they know that generation one is the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are even like hardcore Pokemon fans who are like purists of generation one, we call them Gen Oneers.
Mm.
And it's kind of like a insult. Yeah. Because you spell it like with a W, so it's like they're whining. But yeah, Gen Oneers. I think Gen One, I don't think that Generation 1 is as strong as it gets credit for because it was the first.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mostly nostalgia. Like, people point them, you know, in later generations, they have a Pokemon based on an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
But if you look at Diglett to Dugtrio and Magnemite to Magneton,
mm-hmm.
that's so lazy. We'll just have a guy and then we'll have three of them. And then, like, Grimer and Muck, are you kidding me? Or Voltorb and Electrode? Like,
yeah, we'll just flip it upside down.
These aren't. Some of them were absolutely, like, knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the design and in terms of everything. But some of them were not as great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. So I think there's hits and misses in every generation, but they're right to bank on the first generation. But you're a working man. You got your own place.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually talking about this last week as we were saying on TV Talkers, that which I'm also on. So don't expect to hear TV Talkers in 5 minutes. We're going to full on power out of game over here. That we all live at home. So we were talking about cutting the cord with cable.
Mm.
But you, sir, live solo.
Mm-hmm.
And so, would you put your hard-earned money, from the looks of this, was that trailer enough to make you, like, on a percentage? Okay, we'll pretend it's like a laugh meter.
Sure.
Where are you in terms of this might make you take the jump to get a Switch?
See, I feel like maybe I shouldn't say this on the video game show, but I haven't really played a lot of the new...
This is why you're here, though.
Exactly.
This is why you're here.
Different perspective,
I guess.
Because
people like me can talk about it till we're blue in the face, but mm-hmm. our opinion means nothing. Like, the game is marketed towards you.
Right.
So, in fact, this is exactly why you're on the video game show.
Well, okay. So, thank you. I can speak freely now.
No judgment.
not allowed, at least.
Yeah.
I haven't been up to date with any game consoles in the past... I think my most recent game console purchase was the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's not including Pokemon Go, because that's probably the most video game that's probably the video game that I play the most is Pokemon Go. Just because I guess it's because I'm familiar with it. I have a lot of other things going on, working full time, trying to, three different jobs, trying to make ends meet, never mind spending the money on a new mm-hmm. video game console. I don't know if I'd actually have the time to invest in wanting I don't know if I'd have the time to invest in that. Like, I don't know if I'd want to put my time, which is already as limited as it is, into a video game where, it's kind of like a remake of an old video game that I played. Mm-hmm. So I would almost rather look at a brand new video game or new console, like an Xbox One, which isn't that new now.
The X-Bone.
I'd rather almost invest that in learning a new video game than relearning the old stuff.
So this isn't winning you over. What about the fact that the Switch is portable?
The fact that the Switch is portable is huge. That means that I could play it, I guess, anywhere that it, assuming that it has enough battery. Phones these days, you can just charge on the go. Same with, I'm sure the Switch does that as well.
The Switch has for the record, it's a USB-C charger.
Okay.
So I've charged the Switch with my phone charger. I've also charged the Switch on my laptop.
Yeah.
So I've taken a USB to USB-C and charged the Switch. So
there you go.
The battery life on the Switch, for the record, is only about, I would say, 3 to 4 hours, depending on the game and depending on like the workload of the game. Mm-hmm. But they do give you a variety of ways to charge it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So if you're like at work and you only have like a USB port, because mm-hmm. I know like I've worked multiple jobs too where they've had like a USB, what's the word I'm looking for? USB bus? Just a bunch of USB ports that you can just like, can like plug their USB port into there.
Yeah.
Like wow, we sound so, yeah, hub. There we go. Speaking of the hub, that's where we're going to have our meeting in 2 weeks.
No USBs there though. So.
No USBs, yeah. As far as we know.
Knowing that, I am much more likely to purchase it. But I found that I've kind of not wanted to play video games as much as I had in the past. Mm-hmm. And that might have to do with how I think I played video games and the intent behind the video games that I played. Just kind of looking back at my life, I think I played video games as an escape, to escape, current situations that were uncomfortable. And so now that I think about it, I'd almost rather not feel like I have to escape or not feel like mm-hmm. I have to invest time into a game to feel like I got my money's worth. I'd like to be able to eventually play video games. It's just a fun thing to play. But I haven't really found, the desire to do that, in a number of years. And that's not, to say that I don't enjoy playing video games, but, I go back to the classics. I go back to what I like and what I know and what I remember. It's almost sort of a nostalgia exploration tool for me instead mm-hmm. of like a, I'm going to play the newest video game because I want to experience the story and the gameplay and whatnot. So
that's why this would be, because it sounds like it, to be honest, like you're saying that you're not interested, but it also sounds like the stuff, when you're listing stuff that you would be interested in, mm-hmm. it sounds like you're checking off a lot of those boxes. So mm-hmm. it's like you want to go back to the familiar, mm-hmm. check, you want to be like the nostalgia, check, you don't want to, and this is a huge part of this game is incorporating it with something you're already doing, and it's portable. Mm-hmm. So for someone like you who, you might not have a lot of time, say, at the end of the night to sit in front of a TV, you probably don't have enough, like 5 hours every night to sit in front of a TV, right? Because you're always on the go to different places. But mm-hmm. the fact that the Switch is portable would... Okay, so I think the Switch is currently... I can double-check this, too, but the game is going to be about $80. Mm-hmm. That's steep.
Yeah.
And the Switch is itself going... I think the Switch is about $300.
So if I recall. That's the thing, too.
So we're talking about $400. So is there... Because, we're talking about... This is coming up relatively soon. So we're, like, Christmas, Black Friday, these deals are going to be coming up. Mm-hmm. Do you think there would be, like, a barrier eventually? Like, if you could get them both for $300, would that tempt you? I'm kind of curious to gauge, because you're a tough nut.
Yeah.
You're a tough nut to crack.
Thanks.
But I'm curious what it would take to crack you.
So what is my...
On that gauge, like, what percentage would you say you're at right now?
Of wanting to buy one?
Yeah.
About 10%. 10%.
So even though the fact that this is, like, aim at the nostalgia and is doing the thing, mm-hmm. so all those things still not swaying you whatsoever.
I mean, because I already have Pokemon Go, mm-hmm. and I've already been living that nostalgia through Pokemon Go, and I know that the two are compatible, but I don't know, or compatible, you can like my progress wouldn't be lost on Pokemon Go. It's not like I'm starting from scratch with Pokemon Let's Go. Mm-hmm. But I think I spend a lot of time as it is on Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if I'd want to switch that out for another game. No pun intended.
Yeah. I think pun intended because they love their Switch. They love their Switch jokes, the snap. But I think the idea is that this would be, it'd be really be one, I guess two different files because you're doing the story and the other one. But the fact that the Pokemon would go in between, you know, so I think I think if I was a Nintendo representative, I would be saying, well, it's just one thing.
Fair.
Your Pokemon Go now becomes an accessory to this bigger game.
Right. Fair enough.
Are any of the other features that had like people like me super excited, like the fact that every Pokemon, there's only going to be 151, they announced that, but all 151 Pokemon can follow you, you know, you can ride on the Pokemon. Does any of that stuff entrance you, or is it...
That's kind of cool to put it in that perspective. I mean, the closest I got to seeing that would be, you know, surfing when the whole sprite of the character in Gen 1 changed to, you know, the surf sprite, or flying, you know, when it changed to the bird sprite, but... I guess that, you know, the updated graphics and the updated kind of story of it would pique my interest. That's the thing, though, is that all these features don't necessarily sway me and want... They don't bring me all that much closer to the 100% I'm going to buy this as soon as it gets out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there will be anything that does get me to that point.
Well, you've never been... Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've never been, say, an early adopter.
I haven't. No. I haven't been ever, you know, someone to get the first, or the thing the first day it comes out. You know, I haven't really followed video games or the expos or
I know what you mean.
The things. Like Comic-Con. Like
yeah,
I'm not
Comic-Con. Yeah,
E3. Is E3?
E3.
There you go.
Yeah.
yeah, there you go.
I mean, if you wanted to, you could just listen to the show every week. Da-da-da! Game over UMFM, 5 p.m. on Monday. 5 to 5:30, usually. And sometimes it's 5 to... 6, and we are going to be taking a commercial break just because we do have bills to pay. But before then, I have one last carrot to dangle in front of you to see if this will work as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
The social aspect.
Mm.
So, a big part of Pokemon Go, like, would you have, here's how I'll phrase this, would you have gotten into Pokemon Go if it wasn't as popular as it was? If it was just you and a group of nuts... at a Cinnamon Park, like if it hadn't been this global phenomenon, do you think it would have grabbed you the way it did?
I think it would have. I don't think it would have kept me playing the way it did.
Right.
So the fact that it was such a globalized thing and they did have, you know, newer Pokemon coming out, or not newer, but next generations of Pokemon coming out and new features adding to the game, you know, because they are adding new features to the game consistently to get people to continue to play, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not the reason they're adding them, but they're adding new features to help you play.
I would bet that's 100% the reason they want to keep people playing.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, of course they want to keep people playing. You know, for example, the research tasks. I'm not sure if you're familiar with research tasks on Pokemon Go, but it's ways to earn experience and to level up and to earn items and whatnot. And it's a way to eventually get to unlocking certain Pokemon. Like, you can have an encounter with Mew once you unlocked these certain research tasks. So it's an interesting way to go about getting Pokemon instead of having to trade, for example, like you did in the original games.
But when you went out there, and I assume you're one of those people who was at the Forks, who was at a Cinnamon Park, who was downtown, who was wandering the streets at night, you know, who is, that makes it sound worse. But, you know, you even talked. Like, I know that you and Matt go out and you Pokemon Go together to use it as a verb.
Yep.
And you just said, you said that you've made friends playing Pokemon Go. So that's been a huge social aspect. So if this isn't necessarily going to happen, right? But if that social scene, first of all, do you think you would have gotten into it if that social scene hadn't been there? So would you have done it alone? And then second question, follow-up, if this social scene changes and it turns out that everyone that you know has – I'm making it sound grim. But it turns out that everyone you know has a Switch and they all switch from Pokemon Go to Pokemon Let's Go. Would you think that would influence you?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if it would.
You're just resolute.
I'm not super I'm open to it changing, but I'm not as
open to it changing. He says after 40 minutes of being like, I'm not getting it.
I'm open to trying it and to seeing it, but I think it's just a massive investment into a device. Like if it was it's a console that I can get other games for, but I don't have as much of a drive to play other games. Like if it was an $80 game and that was it, and I could play it on my phone, I would probably try it out.
Right? So it's the new thing.
It's the new console. It's the price tag attached to it. It's yeah. also I'm doing this thing that, you know, it's like cost benefit analysis. Like yeah. how much would I actually use the Switch?
My dad would be so proud of you.
I know, yeah. right?
But as an actuary for people out there who don't know, so yeah, I get hit with that kind of stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Diminishing returns.
Yes, diminishing returns. The point of exclusionary funding.
Yeah, exactly.
I just made that one up. I don't know what that means. But
sounded good though.
Thanks. Yeah, I tried that. And after doing that sort of cost benefit analysis, I honestly don't know how much use I would get out of the Nintendo Switch, just because of my limited access to video games, my limited time to play video games. You know, I have a lot of other things that I would, you know, prefer to be doing than playing video games. You know, I've got, you know, sort of research to be doing. I'm trying to focus on. You know, career-oriented things like that. I'm trying to do a lot more of things for my.
You got
own
a lot
benefit.
Of stuff going on.
Got
life.
A lot of stuff.
So if
going
you
on.
Had, I mean, if right now your main job, your main squeeze, said we're going to double your salary so you can quit the other jobs.
Oh.
And you had more time on your hands. Is this something you would jump to?
Oh hell yeah.
Okay, so there are barriers of entry. It's just that in this case, Nintendo doesn't have anything yeah. to do with it. Okay, so on that bit of a lighter note, we're going to play a commercial because we do have some bills to pay, and we're also, when we get back, we're going to be welcoming in the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Menu. But before then, a couple commercials for you guys to listen to. We'll be right back. Hello again. We're back. I was actually kind of jamming on that. What the? It was loud here. That was terrifying. Didn't realize that the next thing was playing. That was kind of scary. I thought they were going to get beamed up. Don't beam me up, Scotty. So we're back. We're back for a special Power Hour episode of Game Over. And this time we are actually joined by Matthew Menu. Welcome, sir.
Hello. Good apologize for being late. The lake is farther away than I thought.
it's okay. You're still here earlier than Adam.
True.
Who is going across the big lake called the Atlantic Ocean. He's somewhere over there right now, coming back from Germany. Okay, so we've just spent 40 minutes trying to convince Ryan to buy Pokemon Let's Go. Unsuccessfully.
Well, successfully in the sense that my salary would have to be doubled.
you'd have to have twice the money and double the time, and at least yeah. three times the time.
That's
in order for you to do it.
You know what? If I could quit the other two jobs and have more time on the weekends and more time to devote to that, then I probably would buy it.
Yeah, right on. So, Matt.
Yes.
Have you pre-ordered and or are you going to pre-order, excuse me, Let's Go, Pikachu or Eevee?
Well, I'm going to be getting Eevee.
Are you a yeah, me too. I, yeah. I pre-ordered two Eevees for me and Alice.
No one wants the Pikachu
version.
No one
wants Pikachu.
Parents will buy the Pikachu version.
By accident, yes. Yeah. And you'll know which sibling they like more by who yeah. gets Eevee and who gets Pikachu.
Mm-hmm. Do you want the Pokemon that's always forced to stay as it is, or do you want the one that can turn into whatever you want?
Exactly. And it's just objectively cuter. I'm sorry. It's true.
Absolutely. But yeah, I'll be picking it up probably day one.
Yeah, so you're a day one person too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I was disappointed at first when they announced that it was basically just a remake of Yellow.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of love for Gen 1, but like, I like the Pokemon games where they are now way better
yeah.
than the originals. So, yeah, I was disappointed when it was just a remake of Yellow. A very nice looking remake, but just basically a remake. But I've sort of come around on it. Like, I adore Pokemon Yellow. That was the first video game of any kind that I ever owned.
Wow.
You know, I got a Game Boy Color and Pokemon Yellow for my 7th birthday. Wow. So I love Yellow, and I'll happily go and, like, play an updated version of the game without all the weird clunkiness of Gen 1. Mm. I'm a pretty big fan of Pokemon Go. I don't mind the...
We have the full spectrum here.
Yeah.
In that Ryan plays purely Pokemon Go, you play both, and I am the rare Pokemon yeah. gamer who doesn't like Pokemon Go.
Yeah. I as someone in the middle, I don't mind the integration.
Mm-hmm.
I would have... It doesn't do a whole lot for me. It's not going to really convince me to go get the game.
It's good,
but
that you're
but
here,
it's fine.
You weren't here for E3. I think you were gone at that point yeah. when they announced like the full trailer, and Adam and I went through the full analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most important thing that they announced at the E3, during E3, at the E3, at E3, when they announced Pokemon Go, was that there is a game next year that isn't Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. It's like, yeah. guys, calm down. We're trying
it's
this out.
Coming.
We'll see how it goes. It's still, yeah. And I have a funny feeling they're going to test some of the... this is like a beta for that game. So some of the ideas that work, like can we make riding Pokemon everybody realistic, be okay? I would be interested in. Well, I'm going to see what they take from this to the next game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a good sort of proving ground for some new, I don't know about new mechanics, but new like features to the game.
Yeah,
like having every Pokemon be able to follow you, no matter how ridiculous the scale is. You know, being able to ride all your Pokemon, things like Pokemon appearing in the overworld.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely a good testing game for that kind of stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we have about 15 minutes left. I don't want to talk about Pokemon the entire time, but I heard a really, really cool idea, and I kind of want to get your guys' opinion on it. So we're all, even if Ryan isn't going to play it immediately, we're all hyped for Spider-Man. Ryan doesn't know that he's hyped for Spider-Man because he hasn't been following it, but trust us, you should be hyped for Spider-Man.
I do like Spider-Man.
Because when you go to one of our houses and play it, you're going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing, and it hasn't even come out yet. That's how confident that I am. This is going to be fantastic. But we've talked about it on this show. I've talked about it beyond the panel. One of the biggest superheroes on planet Earth is Superman. And they can't get a Superman game right. And no one has a good idea for how to get a Superman game right. It's been a topic of debate here. It's been a topic of debate on other shows around the internet, no doubt. I'm kind of curious if you guys, after this little thing, have ways to improve it. But at a recent, I think it was a conference, actually, but they Corey Barlog, I have to make sure I get that right, the creative director for God of War, which is superb, and that we'll get to it eventually, I'm sure.
Yep.
But God of War is a game about an overpowered character, Kratos. He's a god of war, so how would you scale him back? They figured out a way, story reasons, basically. But they asked him, what would you do with a Superman game? So I'm going to read. He came up with two different ideas for a Superman game, one of which, I'll give credit to the Beyond the Panel guys, is almost identical to what Brian pitched about a year and a half ago when I was on their show. About a Superman game. So the first one is you basically play young Clark Kent, essentially the same way you do TV series while going through school and progressing through normal life. Kent would come to terms with his superhero abilities and would have to balance his coming of age moments with his alter ego. This would involve taking tests in school, dealing with high school dynamics while being a hero. Such an idea would lean, he thinks that such an idea might lean too far into Persona, so it's not something that he'd do.
I think Matt, I was just going to say, yeah, I'm currently playing Persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So first of all, how does that idea grab you guys?
I mean, I love Persona. I don't know. I always like the sort of like life simulator type things. The mm-hmm. like tests at school was always sort of fun for me. Not in real life, just in the game. I don't know. I've never really been interested in Superman, but that would be something that would maybe pique my interest.
But a big thing about, say, this Spider-Man game and, I guess, kind of previous Spider-Man games and even the Batman game is you got the hero when they were established.
Mm-hmm.
So origin stories kind of work in movies, but for some reason when you play a superhero game, I guess it makes sense that you want to be full-powered.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Spider-Man game was coming out in 4 days. You play as an overpowered... He's been Spider-Man for 7 years. He's 23. So he's had a long time to get used to his powers.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a different take on that. So how what do you think... Do you think you can handle growing up as Superman slowly? Like, you get the beam eyes, you get the cold breath, you get the invulnerability, you get the flight. Later, was that the type of game that would interest you whatsoever? And Ryan, would as a, like a sort of a entry level gamer,
thanks.
How does that basically?
Yeah,
does that appeal to you?
I mean, I kind of like the notion of you power up as you progress in the games. I think it's a very, very common element in video games is to you don't start completely. You know, powered up. You don't start full powered.
Yeah.
You work your way up to and achieve and learn new skills as you go. So I kind of like that idea in that video game. And it kind of I do love Superman. I did play Spider-Man 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Love Spider-Man games. I did love the movie Man of Steel.
And I are both are big fans of Man of Steel, even though
yes.
the general public is not as huge on it.
Yeah, that's okay. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Man of Steel, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumb in the middle.
Okay, got it. Like Gladiator.
Nice. Best DC movie, other than Wonder Woman.
Yes, Wonder Woman was fantastic, but this is not movie.
Movie talk. Yeah,
movie
they have that show.
Yeah,
it's with James
show.
At 7 o'clock on Wednesday, I believe.
That's the one.
Ultrasonic film. Got it. Nailed it.
Nice. Yep. Right on. I do like origin stories. I think it kind of, I think they're a little bit more relatable than other superhero movies where you're kind of stepping into the role of Spider-Man, of Superman, of Batman, whatever, mm-hmm. for a bit. And this one is kind of like you are almost growing yourself as this character. And you can almost, that's just kind of my first impressions of it, is you are, you yourself, the gamer, the player, is experiencing what it's like to be something that you can relate really well to, mm-hmm. and as well, you know, play in this game, through this game, experience what it would be like to, I guess, power up and learn and, yeah. and whatnot. So
here's why I'll be contrarian. Here's why I don't like that idea at all. This is basically what I said to the Beyond the Panel guys as well, is that to do a game like you were pitching and like Corley was pitching here, and even the more recent God of War, you can look at other examples like Logan, for example, which isn't your traditional superhero movie. To do those, you have to subvert expectations. But in order to subvert expectations, there have to be expectations. So to me, a Superman game like that would... I would imagine that game would be very successful if it came out after a more successful traditional Superman game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at this point, people are still crying for that like traditional Superman game since they've never got it right.
Mm-hmm.
In order to play it, like, I'd be totally down to play a Clark Kent like story-based game where you got to
play Smallville the game.
Exactly, where you have to deal with what does it do to you to realize that you're basically a god? That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. And that's the question they tried to answer in Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say better than others. But I think that would be an interesting take on a game, and God of War proved that that type of story can work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's still the craving for that type of game, and it's hard to subvert expectations that haven't been met before.
Yeah, so you think people need basically the standard, sort of quote-unquote normal game
exactly.
before giving them the variation.
Like, would Logan have worked as well as a superhero movie if it came out in a vacuum of superhero movies? Right? It works so well because we've become accustomed to the violence in other movies, including other Wolverine starring movies, I think. All right, so I do want to read his second idea, because this one I really like. It's gotten some mixed reviews online, but I really like the idea of this. Okay, instead, this is a quote from comicbook.com. Instead, he pitched an idea where you play as a version of Superman who has to realize he can't help everyone. Players would start hearing people ask for help in a small scale, but nobody would yet know who Superman was. So in this one, you're fully powered. As you start to save people and make yourself known, these cries for help will instead turn to help Superman as the hero becomes known. It's then the players and Superman realize that there's no way that they can possibly help everyone, and they have to deal with the consequences of that. So the game would build up to Superman struggling with the terms of the idea that he can't help everyone, but is still trying to figure out a way to do so.
I love that idea.
The question in Superman games is, how do you weaken Superman because he's unstoppable?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't save everybody.
Yeah, sort of like playing XCOM on the highest difficulty.
Basically, yeah. That's to me. I've watched a lot of videos. How do you make a Superman game? I've thought a lot about it myself. This guy's a professional, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best idea I've heard yet. I would love it if someone made a Superman game based on that. But I'm curious to get what you guys think.
I really like that idea. I've never been a fan in games where you play, like, basically the tutorial or the prologue as mm-hmm. your full-powered version, and then you, like, lose all your powers or all your gadgets or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you, like, slowly regain them for the game. I've never been a fan of that. But I've also, yeah, never really liked Superman because he's too powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good way of avoiding, for me, what's the biggest problem with doing a Superman game.
Mm-hmm. I think then the counter-argument would be, is that too depressing to be a Superman game? Is that where you're going?
And that's kind of
right?
where I was going,
yeah.
You know. Because then I guess it comes down to, what's the point of playing the game? Like, are you looking to pretend to be Superman, or are you looking to have this sort of story? And I don't think those two are mutually exclusive. But I don't know if I'd want a weight of that kind of game, you know, when I'm trying to play video games to kind of relax and kind mm-hmm. of come down from another day at work, for example. When I guess as a social worker, I'm constantly hit with that message, you can't save everyone all the time. It's kind of like, sometimes
yeah.
I want to play a game where I can save everyone. And so
maybe Spider-Man PS4.
Maybe Spider-Man, yeah. Right. You know, I do love the idea. I do love that as a great way to reduce Superman's power overall. I don't know if I would find it enjoyable to play.
I think that would be... It would be an experience that I would be happy that I took, but similar to a lot of games that I like very much, I wouldn't necessarily call it fun.
Right, and yeah. I mean, would you go back to that game all the time and continue to play it like you do Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, like the problem is, and this is a fault in me, basically, but I love Superman Returns, I think was a game, and the game was poorly built in a lot of ways, but I bought it, and I think I said it even on the show before, that I rented it, paid like $7 to rent it for a week, went back to get it. It was on sale for $5. The game had not been out that long. Like, this wasn't one of those things that had been out for years.
Mm-hmm.
I got it, and I went to the cash register, and the guy at Rogers Video, where I got the game, literally said to me, "Are you sure you want to buy this?" Because it was such like an overall poorly made game. But the simple act of flying around as Superman, just basically as a flight simulator, was so much fun. And that's why I don't really like the idea of playing as an underpowered Superman. I want to like open the box and yes, I'm Superman with clearly the powers, but then how do you weaken that? In that game, they did it when Metropolis had a health bar. And so you had to beat bad guys before they caused too much damage to the city, which is an interesting idea, but not pulled off well. And it pulled off, in fact, so poorly, I think no one's ever going to attempt that particular thing again. But that was one solution to how you solve the Superman problem.
I think a way to maybe possibly avoid something like that, just having the game feel too dark. Because, I mean, I don't know. I like some the darker stuff sometimes, but it's maybe not a great fit for Superman.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah. But I think you sort of get to that point in the game. He's struggling with all this stuff. It's a really easy way to turn it into a Justice League thing.
Yeah.
Like, Superman cannot handle this all by himself. Hey, look at all these other people. Now we have a Justice League game.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's a fairly like natural transition into that.
Yeah. I would probably honestly pay like $50 to $80 for a superhero sandbox game. Where, like, even if, you just put in the most generic something's gone wrong, someone's dropping a bank, like, you do stuff like that, and then you could just, like, pick what superhero you want to play.
Mm.
That'd actually not be
the exact same game, but just play through as a bunch of different
exactly,
characters.
Like, yeah, cool. And they all have different, like, fighting styles, so you can web through as Spider-Man, you can drive through as Batman and get launched up, kind of like you could in Arkham, or you can fly through Superman. I know, obviously, we're crossing DC and Marvel, but I think that game would be a really fun one to play, because the word is, there's nothing been released formally, but the word is still that Rocksteady is working on a Superman game, and if anyone can do it, it's them, because they created the modern superhero video game genre. But yeah, of all the ideas that I've ever heard, I thought that was the best one.
That's really interesting. Anyway,
because he has like super senses, so he would be able to hear everything, and it's like, yeah, he literally can't get to everything at once.
Yeah,
yeah, but I feel like it maybe
ties in slightly too closely to how Superman is in the movies right now, and people tend not to be a big fan of that. So I think if they were going to do like a big, like major Superman game release, it would probably not be going in that direction.
Yeah.
Even though I think that's a really cool idea.
It is a really cool idea. I probed the brains of the more comic book centered gentleman, because I didn't watch like Superman the TV show alone. I didn't watch that much of it. I don't know if you did, Matt or Ryan.
Not much, no.
I mainly watched him in the Justice League, and then the few Superman actual comic books that I've read were always, like, huge twists on it. So I've read the one where Superman died because Doomsday came down, but, like, that could be in a game, but it's not the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you have the one guy who can match your power, maybe, like, halfway through the game, suddenly you get a health bar, you're like, oh, what? That would be actually a pretty good twist.
Yeah.
I can't believe I came up with that live. That's good. And then another one was All-Star Superman. I don't know if you guys know anything about All-Star Superman, but it's super different than ever. Like, Superman realizes he's dying, basically. He's got, like, super cancer. Because, like, I think...
How do you make Superman? Super cancer.
Yeah, it's been a few too many years since I read it, but I think the gist of it is that since his cells have been absorbing so much solar radiation, they're starting to degrade. But he's becoming unstable, not like necessarily mentally, but it's like he's becoming way more powerful, but it's going to eventually break down and he breaks down. So he becomes way more powerful, becomes way more brilliant. He came up with a way for Lois to get some powers. And then eventually, since he was too unstable, he went and kind of like hung out in the sun. So that's how it's a weird ending to say out loud, but it was a really powerful and effective story. There's also a movie of it, which is just as good, too.
What's it called?
All-Star Superman.
All-Star Superman.
Yeah, there's an animated movie, because the DC animated movies are, and the live-action movies are, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. All right, so we only have a couple minutes left. There's a huge amount of games coming out. I went and pre-ordered, so sorry, people, to tell you this, but too late. Up until recently, Amazon had a deal where you could get 10% off a pre-order if you pre-ordered. It ended August 28th. So if I'm telling you this too late, then I'm sorry. But I did successfully pre-order Super Mario Party. I'm not Assassin's Creed Odyssey, although I really wanted to. And I successfully pre-ordered Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee and a third game that I'm forgetting now.
Smash Bros?
Smash Bros. That was it. Yes, I didn't pre-order Smash Bros, so we'll no doubt have things that we're excited about. Ryan, as the outsider looking in, which of these games... Does any of the games that I just announced to you, like, is any game that you kind of heard of in the periphery this year appealed to you? And I'm like, holy smokes, I'd like to get my hands on that.
You know, we're talking, and kind of to say this, Simon, to give to your credit, I think you only found out that that sale was ending 5 minutes before it actually ended.
Yeah, it yourself, was. So, I got it at 11:58.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's much you could have said.
Right,
much,
under the wire.
Yeah, you could have done to prevent others from missing that. But to answer your question, you know what? As you know, we've been, all three of us have been playing Mario Party recently. That game has made a pretty big comeback in our hangouts as friends. I've been playing it with my sister regularly, and you know, it's fun. It kind of has that nostalgic dive into it. You know, we kind of go back and play the old school games just for fun. But in and of themselves, they become things that are actually fun to do still, as they were intended, you know, years ago.
And so I think Super Mario Party. Sorry, we're just running a little bit out of time.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Super
Mario Party for sure.
Yeah,
and Smash Bros. Again, Smash Bros. The nostalgia bit. Yeah. Smash Bros. The remake of that. I think I'm quite excited for that too.
I feel like they took a few years off from making Mario Party. I'd have to double check that to be exactly right, but I haven't heard of a new Mario Party super recently until this one.
Yeah, I think it sort of petered out.
Yeah,
people just sort of got over it.
Wise of them to wait and then release this one that's not numbered. Anyway, now we're officially out of time. So. Once again, if you know me and you feel like I've disappeared, I'm sorry. Come Friday, I will be hiding out in my basement, probably getting food on a drip directly into me to just not leave the couch. Don't smell the bottles near me. You don't want to know what that is. But next week, we're going to be too much. So next week, we're going to be doing a preview of Spider-Man. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing a more of a full review on Spider-Man and NHL 19, as it'll be out too. And then after that, we're going to be doing a meet and greet at the Hub with our fans. So mark that officially in pen, and we'll see you next week in the Spider-Verse.